Oh my God, this is such exciting news. We're coming out with the start of a Sell or Die network, and it's a podcast network, like-minded people, business-oriented people, creative, compelling podcasts that are going to help you learn more and earn more.
And so if you have a podcast, or you're thinking about a podcast, or you want a podcast, we can help you. The podcast network will broadcast your podcast and others all over the world. All you have to do is email sell or die at Gittimer.com, and we will get back to you in a heartbeat.
You bet. And I agree. So you're, Jennifer, you're a top closer. Jeffrey, you're a top closer. We're all closers here. I understand. Hey, I can't. Somebody said to me when I was closing, the sale doesn't start until the fifth no.
Yep.
Fifth
so, Mike,
no.
I have a strategy.
That's
for
a
you.
Tweetable, by the way. We should post that out for the show.
The sale
doesn't start till the fifth no. I love that.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time.
Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the sales premier podcast on the internet. And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I authored The Little Red Book of Selling. I'm joined today by
Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. What up, everyone?
And we're about to kick some butt in the sales world because today we have with us the great Mr. Inside Sales, Mike Brooks, as our guest.
That's right. Coming up, we have an amazing episode, and this episode is for salespeople. So sales managers, listen away, but send this to every salesperson that you know, because they're going to get real practical tips and strategies that they can implement and make more sales.
Mike Brooks grew up with Alexander Graham Bell.
And what?
Who knows? Oh. Okay. Mike Brooks is a seasoned sales
there
pro.
There you go. There
who
you
has
go.
Written thousands of scripts, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And is script-oriented in terms of gaining mastery through repetition. He's a person who knows it, gets it, and his customers bank it.
And here's the cool thing. Salespeople have been writing in asking us for more ideas and strategies on cold calling. So we are listening, and we're bringing it to you today.
But here's the bottom line. Mike Brooks is an expert at inside outbound selling, which means he can cold call, and he can teach cold calling. And many of you are reluctant warriors in cold calling, and Mike Brooks says, follow the script.
Just a little insight into what he's going to be talking about.
Okay.
All right. He's going to be talking about, should you be using a script to sell, and how you can double your money within 90 days. He's also going to be talking about what makes a good script and how to be most successful cold calling. We've promised that every episode we're going to read a 5-star review, and today we have an amazing review from K Shires 4. K Shires 4, thank you so much. And here's what he or she wrote. I don't know if it's a girl or a boy.
I know. It's
all right.
Okay.
Jeffrey and Jennifer deliver some of the greatest podcasts. I definitely give their podcasts a listen. Jeffrey and Jennifer deliver some of the greatest podcasts. I'd definitely give their podcast a listen. They're the first thing I put on in the morning. It puts me in a great frame of mind before I head out to visit customers. Ooh, I like that. If you need a pick-me-up or some positive motivation, turn on Sell or Die.
Bring a cup of coffee with you.
Thank you, Kay Shires 4. We love you, and we love you for posting a review on iTunes.
Now, for those of you out there listening and you're going, well, how did he or she get his name up there?
You love the he or she thing.
Yeah, all you have to do is post a nice review, a real review. You know, we're damn good at this, and we love what we're doing. Put a review up on iTunes, and we'll, if it's a 5-star, we'll read it.
And here's the thing. We do this for free. We are busting our asses every day now to get out content.
Yeah.
Daily to
you. We're going daily.
It's August. But all we ask from you is that you could please rate us on iTunes and subscribe to the show
and
send
it
to
with
a friend.
Both your friends.
There you go.
Okay.
Both your friends.
So, Jen, I've been noticing a couple things floating around the city here.
What have you noticed?
Sometimes there's a line waiting outside the store to get in. Sometimes there's a line waiting outside the museum to get in. And sometimes you go by a shrine and there's no line. And sometimes you go by a store and there's hardly anybody there. What are they doing? What is one business doing different than the other business? What is one church doing different than the other church? How are they putting themselves out into the community to create genuine attraction?
And there's such drastic differences. Like, oh, yeah. One church may have no line at all, and another church may have a line 4 hours long.
So, and there's no line for churches in your family, but in your community. But as diehards, I'm asking you to listen to what we're about to tell you and ask yourself, how are you attracting people to your business? Now, I just finished a book from the Napoleon Hill Foundation called Truthful Living. And one of the things that Napoleon Hill wrote about in 1917 was the law of harmonious attraction. In other words, the people that are standing outside these buildings or these businesses have created a desire to go to a destination. And that desire has been created by the value that they perceive of what's inside or the products or services that are offered. In other words, the seller has something, the buyer has something, and they both want to be able to convey it to one another. That's harmonious. The other would be manipulative attraction or a today-only attraction or something that makes me maybe singularly motivated, and when I get there, I know I'm going to be disappointed. Sears did it for years. It was called bait and switch, and they got they got literally crushed by the government for
is
doing
Sears
it.
Is Sears still around?
No.
Yeah, that says so everything.
Yeah, there's different bait.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can only sell that. They would have a dishwasher for $100, and someone would come in and go, hey, I want that $100 dishwasher. And they go, oh, we just sold it last hour.
Did they really?
But here
do
we
that?
Have a $500 one. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, they did it all the time.
Wow.
That was part of their strategy. Bait and switch.
Eek.
I know. So you have to be careful.
So that Truthful Living book that you're talking about, we're going to pop a link into the show notes.
Yeah, you could get a copy of it in advance.
It's pre-order. You can pre-order it on Amazon. It ships at the end of October. And I know that's not why you're bringing this up, because you weren't even about to say that it's available.
No.
But it is.
But I want to challenge you that when you see a line of people waiting to buy something or waiting to go into something, you have to ask yourself, why are these people here? What did this business do in order to be able to create this attraction? Whether it's a webinar or a YouTube video or some kind of show that's on, whatever it is, they've done something miraculous that has created that viral desire for someone to go buy it. You see it on Instagram now, pretty interestingly, because I'm a sucker for it.
Oh, my God. It's like those.
I got the melon slicer. I got the
Jeffrey buys the everything steamer. Advertised to him on Instagram, and we'll get a package in the mail. I'm like, is that an Instagram product? And he'll be like, shush. And he'll walk away because he doesn't want to admit it.
But it's working. And
well, yeah,
I think they target me. I think
They do target you. They know exactly what you're going to buy.
As an IS. An Instagram sucker.
Okay, so diehards, your challenge is to figure out how you're attracting your customers and if your customers are going to want to wait online for you.
And if you put an ad on Instagram, would anybody buy it? Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So I'll see it. I guarantee if you put the ad up there, they'll target me.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it, like what's here with how long people wait on lines. And it's not just for tourist attractions. It's for restaurants.
Yep.
It's for retail clothing stores.
Here, by the
stores.
Way, is Paris, France, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah,
yeah. Mentioned
yeah.
it because we don't want to drop a name.
Yeah.
We were at the moon, but when we came
we
back
from
the
came
moon.
We just came back.
Yeah.
No. So, but people really wait online to enter a retail shop to buy. And your challenge, diehard, you, is are people waiting online for you? Not online like online on the internet. If you're from New York, you say online. If you're from anywhere else, you say in line. So now you know what I'm talking about.
Online.
Right.
But the bottom line is, are people clamoring for what it is that you're selling?
That's right.
And if they're not clamoring, it's because you don't have the right value message out. It's because you're not doing the right kind of message generating that make people want more.
And let's say people are waiting in line for you. They're waiting for your response. They're waiting. They filled out a form. They want more information. They contacted you. They need you to call them back so they could make the purchase.
They buy your book in advance because they can't wait to get it.
Yeah, they're waiting. What are you doing while they're waiting to serve them while they're waiting?
Yeah, what are your value messages? In other words, if someone buys from you, you can't immediately send a sales message. They're going to be annoyed with that.
You'll go down with like Sears.
What you have to do is say, hey, thanks for buying. Here's 10 ways to use this that nobody really knows. Here's 10 more things you can do of value around this that nobody really knows. So if you give me the value message, then I'm going to take a deep look at the next thing you send me.
And you're going to send it to someone else.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about the great Mike Brooks for just a minute, because I actually like this guy. He is a salesperson par excellence. He is a communicator in the easiest possible terms. He's not a high pressure, jumping up and down guy. He just creates scripts that win. He teaches people how to cold call. They make the cold calls and they make sales.
That's right. And in fact, he won the Service Provider Award for Inside Sales in 2017. He believes that cold calling can still be effective, as do I. And he believes that ad-libbing, for the most part, is a bad practice in sales.
Ooh.
Yeah. So let's get into it. It's time to...
Welcome, Mr. Inside Sales.
Mr. Mike Brooks.
Mike, how are you?
I could not be better.
You could be if you were living in Charlotte, because right now you live in Raleigh.
Oh, man. I've only been to Raleigh once.
Yeah, it's kind of like Charlotte was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That's kinda. Why it's so nice.
That's true. One of the redeeming qualities of Raleigh is you can't tell when you're downtown. I think the tallest building there is a Sheraton.
Oh, well, let me just correct this. I do live in Cary, and I've been told it stands for two things. Number one is containment area for relocating Yankees.
Got it.
And then when I got down here, somebody said, no, that's not it. It's actually can't afford Raleigh yet.
I love that. Oh, that's
you know,
funny.
When you get to Raleigh, the one cool thing about that whole triangle area is that there's a lot of colleges, there's a lot of youth, and there's a lot of new things all the time. The latest restaurants, the latest coffee shops, the latest hoo-has. And they attract a lot of culture, young culture.
Yeah, so, they do. It's a pretty vibrant place. You walk downtown and it's like going to Seattle. It really is.
And the rivalry, the Duke-Carolina rivalry, that's it. If you go down south, other than maybe Florida, Georgia.
Yeah.
Or Alabama, Auburn. Or Tennessee.
All right. So, Mike, you are Mr. Inside Sales. How did you become Mr. Inside Sales? Were you always into selling?
Hang on a second. This is very important. And when he crosses the border, he is Senor Inside Sales.
And don't forget, they call my wife Mrs. Inside Sales.
Oh, all right, cool. All right. Just, not Ms. Good. Inside Sales? Come
nope.
on. No. What kind of a gender
nope,
thing
nope.
is that?
Jennifer, it's a great question. Here's the deal, and I like to say this. I've been on the phone. I know I look much younger, but I've been on the phone selling since 1984. Graduated from UCLA out of LA, and I got on the phones. I was making about 175 cold calls a day in 1984. So I have been in inside sales when it was called telemarketing. So it's so funny.
I was alive then, by the way.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I was alive.
I was going to ask you if you were. You know, I work with a lot of managers right now, and they try to tell me how to cold call. And I don't want to say, listen, I've been cold calling before you were born. I kind of know what it takes.
Yeah.
What's changed in the past 30 years?
Wow. Well, there's not only been a lot changed in 30 years, there's been a lot changed in the last 10 years. As you know, social media, social selling, you know, the buyer's now in charge. There's a lot of, you know, you're no longer the only game in town. So that's made a lot very challenging. You've really had to change your sales approach. A lot of the old techniques don't work anymore. However, and here's what I like to preach, the fundamentals of connecting with someone, of listening, and of truly caring about someone and trying to help them, they still matter. And if you remember those things and pair them with a good approach, you're going to be fine.
What about something like predictive dialing?
Mm. in the right situation, it's great. Depends on what you're, you know, on how big of a team you've got. You know, predictive dialing is really good for your larger call centers. For your smaller shops where you really, where you want to do some social research, where you want to find some connections, you want to go on to LinkedIn, understand what their, you know, their initiatives are and things like that, then predictive dialing isn't going to work as well. It just depends on the environment you're going to work in. There are many other kinds of calls, like Connect and Sell is a great example, where they actually will do some research along with you. You provide them with that info, and then they get somebody on the phone. So I'm all about, hey, let's increase our contact ratio, because that's really what's going to help you. But again, it depends on the application.
So
do you believe in scripting?
You know what? Here's the deal, Jeffrey. And this is the truth. All right.
No, come on.
Why do
us tell us
come
we're pretty?
On.
Come on. Tell me I'm pretty, please.
Here's the deal. Guess what? Everybody uses a script. If you don't believe me, record your sales team, transcribe what they're saying, hand it back to them. What are you going to hand back to them? A script. Now, here's the truth. The problem with that is that most sales rep scripts suck. That's the truth. They suck. I mean, I listen to recordings every single day for all of my clients. I've been listening to recordings for 30 years. A new client calls me and says, hey, I need help. I say, send me your recordings. As soon as I hear the recordings, I know exactly what the problem is. Their sales reps suck. They don't know how to make a connection. They're talking over people. They can't listen to save their lives. They don't know what the definition of a qualified lead is. Why? Because they're using their old script that they made up. It's called ad-libbing. Sucks.
Yeah. So everybody's on a different script.
Yeah, then that's the problem. You know, what I like to do is come in and get everybody on a similar best practice approach. Hey, let's script out what is going to be your best practice. Let's get everybody to learn it and internalize it so they don't sound like robots. And then let's get them delivering that best practice approach. So when somebody says, hey, I'm not interested, you say, hey, no problem at all. I'm not calling to sell you anything today. Hey, how's that for an idea? I mean, let's get everybody delivering a best practice approach. If you do that, you're going to be more successful.
I will tell you, my insult to salespeople is when the customer says they're not interested, that means you are not interesting.
So a lot of people try to sound like they're not robots, but when they're reading something, they struggle.
You can kind of tell.
You can tell. And companies I've called recently, sometimes in the middle of the conversation, they'll have to read some disclaimer and it's obviously scripted. And they'll actually apologize, like, okay, sorry, I have to go through this word for word right now, blah, blah, blah. But when someone doesn't have to go through it word for word and it needs to sound like they're actually being conversational, what do you recommend to that salesperson?
Yeah, it's very simple. Have you ever heard of the song Stairway to Heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a lady who's sure. All the glitters is gold, right? I know the inflection. I know every word of that song. Why? Because I've heard it 100 times. So what do I tell salespeople? Take the script home, record it into your cell phone, listen to it 30 times so that, guess what? You'll memorize it. Mm-hmm. You'll internalize it. And now you deliver it in a free-flowing, easy way. So somebody says, hey, I need to talk to my manager after my presentation. I get to the end. Hopefully you've already qualified that there's another decision maker during the qualification stage, but let's say you still get the stall. Hey, I'm going to need to talk to my manager. So what do you say? You say, hey, no problem at all. I understand that. We talked about that earlier. Let me just ask you, just out of curiosity, based on what we've gone through, you know, what you understand so far, if the manager said, Jeffrey, you do what you think is best, you know, based on what you know, what would you tend to do? Now, that's a script. Did it sound scripted? No, because I've memorized it. And that's what you need to do.
Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
there's a place for scripting. I'm in favor of scripting, especially to get a person familiar with the product or the process. But oftentimes, people will invent a tangent to the script that's a little bit better. They tweak it just a little bit more. Are you in favor of somebody modifying that script once they get in control of it or memorize it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? The script is a template. It's a best practice approach. I want Jeffrey, I want you to put your personality on it. Jennifer, I want to make it so that it sounds like you. I want you to embrace it, but I don't want you to miss out on that best practice technique. And the problem is most people are never given those techniques to start with. So they start out by just ad-libbing. They start out by reacting. I was at the AAISP Leadership Summit last week in Chicago, and we won a couple of awards. I'll just give myself a plug there. We won the 2018 Service Provider of the Year Award for Sales Script Development.
Way to go.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and thanks, Jennifer. And the reason I tell you that is because what's important is you take that message, you take the best practice approach, you turn it into your own, and then when you deliver it, it doesn't sound like you're ad-libbing. It sounds like it's you, but again, you're at least delivering and saying the right things. Most people never do that. They start by, again, just ad-libbing, and then you've got a room of 20 people making it up on their own. But here's what I learned at the AAISP. They said, hey, with the new generation of people out there, folks who have grown up on their cell phones, people who are used to just texting, and we're asking them to do something they've never done before, mm-hmm. which is make a telephone call. They don't use these as phones.
Right.
So guess what? Now, so it's very difficult to say, all right, hey, Gary, great. Welcome to the company. Now we want you to get on the phone and make 50 dials a day. 50 what? Dials a day. What's that? It's a phone call. What's that? So we're asking these people to do something they've never done, which is make a call. So we better give them some tools. We better give them some scripts that they can turn into themselves.
Is there anything besides a script that you would use as a tool to help that millennial person or anybody who's involved in the
Who's call reluctant? Yeah. Or in inside sales,
Well, you know, that's a whole separate subject. But Jeffrey, let me answer your question because I was taught many, many years ago. Jeffrey, do you remember Stan Ballou?
Yep.
Yeah. Stan was my mentor. Oh, Jennifer, how about you?
I don't know him.
Telemarketing genius. He was the major telemarketing sales trainer before sales training was even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something when I was in LA and we were selling investments, they flew him in and he said something that changed my career. He said, if you want to double your income in 90 days, I'm going to give you one technique. And my eyes perked up and I really, what is that? I'm dedicated. He said, this is so easy to do. 90% of salespeople will never do it. And you know what? They don't. And it's always been this way. But here's what it is, Jeffrey. What I would tell people if they want to get better, besides scripting, is you need to record yourself and listen to your recordings every day for 90 days. And when you listen to your recording, ask yourself three things. What did you do well? Because obviously you want to repeat that, give yourself some kudos, right? Number two, what did you not do well, right? And then number three, how are you going to change what you didn't do well? And then apply that on your very next call. And if you do that, you'll be getting better for 90 days in a row and improving in all the areas that you don't do well. Hey, man, guess what? I doubled my income in 90 days by doing that technique, and I record all my clients' calls, and that's how I coach them to get better. So that's what I'd recommend.
When you hear yourself, you hear how bad you really are.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
It's almost embarrassing. I mean, I did it myself in the 90s. I gave a speech in Gastonia for 3 hours, and it was videotaped on a thing where it automatically, in the VHS thing, it was in the camera, and it was done the instant the event was done. And I took it home, and I watched it, and I cringed. And then for 3 hours, and then I watched it again and took notes, and I carried those notes with me for years.
Yeah.
The first time I recorded myself, when my manager said, I want you to record yourself, I was like, yeah, right on, man. I'll show you how to do this. Man, I got it going on.
That's
over
exactly
here,
what I thought. I'm going to sell this tape and make a million.
You're going to be playing this. Yeah. Well, anyway, I played my first recording. I wanted to crawl underneath the conference room table. I was so bad.
I couldn't buy a bag of popcorn if I tried to sell that tape. But I got it somewhere. I'll find it and digitize it.
Oh my God, that's, you have everything, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So, people have trouble coming up with the script. How do you form a good script versus a bad script? What are the fundamentals that go into creating the script?
Okay, there are a number of ways to do it. There are many resources that you can use. I'm going to talk about my book here in a minute, The Power of Phone Scripts.
Yeah, I was going to just say, hold up your book, but
what Jen
is asking for is there a specific blueprint that you use or some kind of a template that allows you to say the right thing? Like the greeting, the message, the close.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, so here's how you find that. Number one, you can go to my blog, all free materials packed with scripts. I've got opening scripts on there. Number two, here's what I did, and here's what I always recommend to people as well, and this is what I do when I work with companies. Listen to your top producers, your top pros. If you're in a room of 20 people, there are going to be two or three people who are winning all the awards, making all the money. I took a tape recorder. And I stood next to their desk as they cold called and they closed sales, and I recorded what they said. I took it home on the weekend. I typed it out, and I compared what they were saying to what I was saying. Oh, and that was my first hint. Boy, I'm not asking half the questions they are. I'm not answering the rebuttal or objections half as good as they are. So that's something that you can do as well. What's working in your industry? Who's doing well? Copy what they do. Put it in your own words. There's your beginning script.
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? For those of you listening on audio, the book is called Power Phone Scripts. And the author is the bald guy, correct?
Which one?
Mr. Inside Sales himself. And what I want to be able to do is to ask you the question of, How many years of scripts are in that book?
At least 20. Yeah. But they've gone through many, many different variations. So what is in this book is 20 years of experience, a little bit more really. But these are current scripts. I wrote this book. It was published, widely published it last year, 2017. These are current iterations of the scripts. These are current approaches that work with today's buyer who has, in the old days, they used to say, you've got 10 seconds to make your point. Well, now you got about a nanosecond.
Yeah. Okay.
Or less.
So yeah, you have to be real quick. You have to engage the buyer quickly. You have to get to a question. There are many things you need to do quickly to find out if somebody's even willing to engage. And that's, by the way, Jennifer, I'll just be real quick. That's why most people don't do well, because when they're reading a script or if they memorize their opening, it's a paragraph long. It's a monologue. Jennifer, the reason I'm calling today is to let you know that we can save money.
You already lost me.
Of course. Of course I've lost you.
So I want to play this out, okay? So maybe we can do some role plays here for our listeners or for some of the common things that they hear when they're making cold calls.
We call our listeners diehards from the sell or die.
Right. So our diehard may make a phone call and they may hear, I don't have time for this, or I have to go. Or
what are you calling me for? How'd you get my number?
Right. Yeah. So you've just given me five objections. So which one would you like me to answer?
I don't have time for this.
I don't blame you at all. And here's what we'll do. I'll go ahead and give you a call back. Let me ask you a quick question to make sure that it's going to be worth your time. Are you the person who handles the purchasing there?
Oh, man, I didn't want to hang up. I wanted to hear what he wanted to say.
Yeah. So what I've done there is I've at least gotten a qualifying question in there to make sure I'm even talking to the right person. Otherwise, why would I want to spend my time chasing you now to call you back?
Could you go to a different tangent on that? Because the guy's going to hear that respectfully. That question is going to be a sales question. Could I say, listen, I need to ask you one question before you hang up and go. What's your favorite color?
Pink.
Yeah, pink. You know, people who like pink are normally extremely intelligent and receptive to new ideas. Would that be you?
Well, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but what? By the way, that's not really my favorite color.
I'm aware. Your favorite color is black, isn't it? Color of the American Express card.
Yeah, exactly.
If I ask an engaging question that they haven't been asked before, I might come up with a better answer and certainly evoke a smile and then get an appointment. Now, I have a very serious question to ask you that I can promise you will make you stop and think. How many objections are there? Ooh.
It certainly did make me stop and think.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there are obviously several, but there are many that recur over and over
right.
again.
Right. And what would you say? I did a seminar. I'm not going to mention the name of the company because it wouldn't be fair for Time Warner Cable. But they're on the phone all the time. And I asked the general manager there, how many objections are there? He said, hundreds. I said, I'll bet there's not more than 15.
Yeah.
In fact, I will bet my whole fee on less than 15. And if it's less than 10, you double it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there were 12.
Oh.
But the bottom line is there were 12 objections, and that's it.
Yep.
And for most companies, there are not more than 15 objections.
Yep.
I spent my whole budget. We have a supplier that we're satisfied with. Their price is too high. Yep. Same crap every single time. Yep. And I tell people to answer the price objection. People go, your price is too high. I go, wait, price is too high? I've never heard that before. So I try to answer in a funny way, or I try to answer in a way that creates a little bit more dialogue rather than how high is it and what do we have to do? Can we talk to your daddy? What do we have to do to get your business? I'm not in that frame of sales. But when salespeople understand that there's only 15 objections, then they can really get down to, okay, what's my best response? And I'm sure that's what you do.
Let me tag on to just what you said, because if you read the first 50 pages of this book, it tells you the secret of sales. And then when I go on site and I do an on-site training and I tell everybody, I said, you need to know the secret of sales. And they look at me and they say, Mike, there's a secret of sales? I say, you're darn right there is. Here's what it is. 80 to 90% of the objections, the selling situations, the resistance that you get today, you're going to get in July. You're going to get them in December with all that great Christmas music. In other words, things don't change. Hey, let's take the price objection. Guess what? The price objection was happening in ancient Egypt over 3,000 years
ago. Yeah, the matzah cost too much.
Yeah, exactly.
When they set up all the stalls and the townspeople would come in and they'd pick up something and they'd ask the guy behind the table, how much is this? And he said, 3 rubles. And they said, 3 rubles?
Yeah, what are you, nuts? Yeah.
What are you, nuts?
Do you know what Charlie Jones's secret to sales was? Nothing works. And I modified it with, he was my mentor, and I would say to him, Charlie, no, nothing works all the time. So you might try something that works one time and then try it again. It doesn't work. You go, oh, that doesn't work. No, it works. It just didn't work then.
Yeah. And I tell people that all the time too, that, you know, if something doesn't work once, they never want to use it again. I say, you can't let the outliers define your whole sales process.
Exactly.
And here's something else about, so anyway, there's a secret of sales. And the secret of sales is 90% of the situations you're going to run into are going to be the same. So, hey, guess what? You better get good at handling those situations. I wanted to say one quote. You know the coach Bear Bryant?
Yep.
All right.
Alabama.
There you go. Won more games when he retired than any other college coach. He says something that I love. He said, it's not the will to win that matters. He says, everybody has that. He said, it's the will to prepare to win that matters. And that's what I tell sales teams, man. You need to prepare for the 90% of the situations, the 5 objections, stayed objections you get over and over again. If you do that, guess what? You're going to be confident. You're going to be prepared. You're going to be successful most of the time. The reason, and I'll end with this, that most sales reps struggle is for some reason they won't take the time to learn mm-hmm. and to prepare for the situations they get into over and over again.
And for those of you diehards out there, Bear Bryant is the living legend coach who benched Joe Namath for a bowl game that they had to win, but he violated curfew and Bear Bryant pulled him.
Wow.
The rest is history. But I wanted to ask you one question about the outliers. When you read the book, did you add up your hours? Why don't you try?
I thought everyone does that when they read the book.
Yeah, I was on an airplane to Paris and I immediately added everything I could find.
Okay, so Mike, don't go yet. You are an expert at scripting and we need to hear just a few more. Give us some of the top scenarios that happen out there. And just a few more scripts that we can take away, because I know everyone's going to go buy your book, but we want a sneak peek.
Yeah, hold up that book again. I want to see it. For the people that are listening, this drives people nuts.
Power Phone Scripts. By Mike Brooks, Mr. Inside Sales.
No, the great Mike Brooks, Mr. Inside Sales. And I want to make sure that you can go to Amazon, you can go to Hell in a Handbasket, you can go to
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Now, this is a great book because it tells you not just what to do, but how to do it.
Right. Yeah. It tells you what to say.
Yeah.
And by the way, underneath here, it says 500 word-for-word questions, phrases, and conversations to open and close more sales. I actually had to count them. There's over 700.
Oh.
I said, hey, put 500 on the cover that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. You don't want to seem like you're bragging.
All right. So give us one or two that you absolutely love.
I'm going to give you two. Here's one. First of all, one of the biggest when you're cold calling, right?
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people out there and you hear it all the time, they say, hey, cold calling sucks. And I totally agree. But I'd like to say it only sucks if you suck at it.
Right.
You know, if you get good at it, it's okay.
Yeah.
You have a good attitude. I love Jeffrey's attitude and the humor that he used. When I'm on the phone, I'm all personality and they can hear that. I got a mirror, put it at my desk. Whenever the phone rings now, I'm like Pavlov's dogs. When the phone rings, I just automatically grin. And that comes across on the phone.
I got a mirror. I breathe into it to make sure I'm alive.
But anyway, Jennifer, sorry. Yeah. So here's the deal. You're cold calling. You're trying to get, you know, make a connection, qualify a lead, set up for a presentation. What are the big objections you get? Jeffrey named them, right? You're too busy, not interested. What's the biggest one you get? Send me an email.
Yep.
Email me. All right. So how do
send
you do
me
that?
Send me some information.
It used to be send me information. Now it's email me. All right, great. Mm-hmm. So guess what? 80% of sales reps, and if you're a sales manager out there, in your next sales meeting, go around the room and give them the objection. Just email me something. And you're going to get 18 different responses. That's the problem. Yeah. So here's the best response you can do. What you do is you say, hey, no. And by the way, most people will say, what's the email address? When can I get back to you? Wrong. That's the wrong thing to say. So here's what you do say. You say, hey, I'd be happy to do that. What's your email address? You take it down. Guess what you do? You email it to them. You say, great, I just emailed that to you. Let me know when that pops up in your email. I'll probably hear a ding. But in the meantime, let me ask you this question and then go right back into your qualifying. So there it is. So that's number one. Number two, the second response.
Hold on. So in order to do that, you have to have the email ready prior to the call.
Why wouldn't you?
In its template and just ready to hit send once you have their email.
Everybody
has
that.
Wait a minute. Why wouldn't you? No, you're lazy.
Well, because some people
everything.
Aren't as prepared as they need to be. So, you know, I'm
let's
just pointing out that.
Right. All right. So here's a different response for all those lazy people who can't open their template in 10 seconds or can't have it in front of them. God knows why, but there you have it. So here's the second thing to say. I'd be happy to do that, Jennifer. What's your email address? Terrific. Well, I tell you, here's the deal. I've got three different brochures that I can send you. I want to make sure I send the one that's going to be most appropriate for you. So let me just ask you two more questions to make sure I send you the right thing. And then you ask two more qualifying questions. Number one, you're finding out whether or not you're going to engage with me. Are you going to play along? Or do I have control over the call? Are you going to cooperate? Are you just blowing me off? If you are open to those two questions, then it speaks well for my chances of having another conversation with you. But at least I've been able to be prepared for that objection.
Cool.
You have to be prepared for that.
I love that.
So
all right, what's the second one?
Do you want the normal brochure, the slightly longer than normal brochure, or the real long brochure?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So here's the other one. And again, I want to stick to the ones that people get all the time. Wouldn't be interested. No problem at all. I didn't expect you to be. In fact, I'm not even trying to sell you anything today. All I want to know is if what we're offering might be of help for you later on. In case you ever do need a resource like this, let me just ask you a quick question, and then you go right into it. But the point is, you have to have a response already prepared. Hey, no problem at all. You take the pressure. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I didn't expect you to be interested. You weren't waiting by the phone for my call. No problem. Let me ask you this. You know, I might have something that might interest you later. You might have an opportunity.
That's great. How many
people just because you're
not
interested now doesn't mean you're not going to be interested later. For example, if you just ate breakfast, and I say, hey, you want some breakfast? You go, I'm not interested.
I'm not angry.
But you know what? Lunchtime, you're going to be interested.
And by the way, and Jennifer, one last thing about I'm not interested. You know, another way, there are 15 answers to that objection.
In the book that you're holding up, the Power Phone Script?
15. And by the way, that's not an objection. I teach people that's a reflex response.
Yeah.
Means nothing. I haven't even pitched you. You don't even know you're not interested.
It's a stall. I agree.
Exactly.
It's like when you walk into a department store and somebody says, can I help you? And you're
just
walking
looking.
Into... Exactly.
Right.
And you're looking for something specific. You've been saving up to buy that TV, and now it's football season. You got the money in your pocket. You got your cousin's truck out there.
Sometimes I'm really just looking.
Yeah, just looking. No, you're not.
Okay, so how many sales reps, what percentage, because you've worked with a lot of inside sales reps, how many do you think come prepared to those calls with the right scripts and are armed with the right things to say versus they think that they're the ones who can ad lib? I'm the golden sales child who can ad lib well.
I'd say 80% of sales reps are unprepared and sound like it.
Wow.
That's good news for you, though, Mike.
It keeps me. Believe me, man.
Wow.
Every time I listen
no,
to
you say
so
80%,
the question
like,
to our diehards.
Mike, you say 80% of sales reps are unprepared, and I'm hoping it grows to 85%.
Well, the question for our diehards listening out there is, how prepared are you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And are you scripted to a point where it doesn't sound scripted?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you internalized it? Mm-hmm. Do you know the words of Stairway to Heaven, or do you have to read the words?
Mike is giving you the answer. He said, go home, record it 30 times, listen to it 30 times, see how you sound on the 31st time until you own it. If you own it mentally and you own it in your heart, that will be reflected in your conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the alternative to that, Jeffrey, is I tell them, you know, get the script, read it 100 times till you know it, and then record it 3 times with 3 different inflections. Mm. Listen to those 3 versions. Delete the 2 you don't like. Keep the 1 you do, because you'll remember the inflection. Mm-hmm. Think about Adele singing Hello. You know the every, not only word, you know the inflection of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what you're going to remember.
Why don't you, as sales reps or diehards, make 100 copies of your script? And when you call someone on the phone, you put their name at the top of it, the company name and the phone number that you dialed so that you've got it. And then as the conversation continues, you take notes along the side of the script. Like, we've been taking notes of your stuff all day long.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I'm sure you encourage people to take notes. Most people put it in their CRM, but most people don't do it, you know, they don't do it till afterwards. I'm a big fan of doing it during. So, you know, I want to find out how many objections you are, but you were talking. I didn't want to interrupt you, so I wrote down how many objections are there. That's a powerful question, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Did you measure your 10,000 hours? That was a real important question to me.
Yep.
Because I wanted to find out, you know, did you measure it or not? And then I had to write down nothing.
Well, he's been
worse.
Doing this since 1984.
Who?
I mean, mm-hmm.
Mike
Brooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, Jeffrey, I like what you said about taking notes. I call that active listening. I tell you another thing I teach sales reps over and over again, and this was one of the big things that made me really good on the phone, and that's to hit your mute button as soon as your prospect starts talking. If you don't, you're going to talk over them. You're going to go, and they can hear the anxiousness in your voice. Somebody once said, you don't want to call somebody with commission breath.
We call it sales breath here.
Yeah, you hear it a lot. It's, you know, hit your mute button.
Well, if I can get that for you today, would you be willing to move forward?
No, that's telemarketing. That's, you know, we ask me what has changed in 30 years. Well, that's changed, you know.
Yeah.
What's the closing question that most people try to ask?
I wish they did try to close. Most people don't. I think that, quite frankly, and what I'm hearing these days, closing is a lost art. They kind of squeak out asking for the order, sort of, kind of.
Are they scared to ask for the order?
I'd say terrified. How's that?
Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
See, to me, it's so natural. I'm waiting for the moment that I can say, okay, so when would you like to get started?
The great Elmer Letterman said the sale begins when the customer says no.
You bet. And I agree. See, you're a top closer. Jeffrey, you're a top closer. We're all closers here. I understand. Hey, I can't. Somebody said to me when I was closing, the sale doesn't start until the fifth no.
Yep.
Fifth
so, Mike,
no.
I have a strategy.
That's
for you.
Tweetable, by the way. We should post that out for the show. Sale doesn't start till the fifth no. I love that.
Yeah. I think I have the best script of all time, Mike. And if you'd like to purchase it.
You wouldn't want to buy anything today, would you, Jeffrey? That's how most people are calling. You wouldn't want to buy anything today, would you? Okay, so lunchtime.
Rest his soul, my father and my grandfather. My grandfather owned a plumbing supply store, and my dad would tell me the story about this plumber salesperson, like sold sinks or whatever, and he'd shuffle in, and he'd look at my grandfather and says, you don't want to buy anything today, do you? And my grandfather would say, all right, come on back. And as he walked by my father, the sales guy would look at my dad and wink.
I love it.
Oh, man.
The old techniques were so much fun.
Yeah.
The people.
But slimy.
No, they weren't slimy. Come on. You don't want to buy anything today? That's not slimy. But I feel like there's a strategy that you can use that goes with your personality, and if it's sincere and if it's real, then you can make it work.
Yes.
And by the way, Mike, you are in the home of Johnson Motors. Johnson Motors produced the Sales Badger commercials.
Oh, I love those commercials.
Oh, my God. Sales Badger commercials are the best. They're car, automobile.
What do you need that? That mirror for, honey, to put on your lipstick.
Right. It's they're funny as hell. And the reason they're funny as hell is because they're true.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I tell you something. I love your philosophy, Jeffrey. I always have. And I'll give you a plug for one of your older books, The Sales Bible. It's one of the best books on sales I've ever read.
Thank you.
When I read that, I resonated with everything. I said, this guy knows what he's talking about. And that's when I started following you, and I followed you ever since then, because you're talking the truth. And
you followed me all the way to North Carolina.
Dude, you know, I almost settled in the same city, but
well,
you know.
You're so close now, you'll have to come over for breakfast.
Yeah. Can't wait.
All right,
Can't wait. You know, here's the thing about sales. I love salespeople. I really do. I love the profession of sales. It allows you to make as much money as you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
But Stan Ballou said something years ago that I've always remembered as well. And as I scratch my head and wonder why, but it's true. He said, you know what? If you're willing to do the things that most sales reps are not willing to do, then soon you'll be able to enjoy the things that most sales reps will never be able to enjoy. And by golly, it's so true. You know, you can make as much money as you want, but if you're not willing to put in the time and effort and sometimes money to make that happen, then you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why most people hate sales.
Yeah, that's true. They're jealous of it. Yeah, we want to thank the great Mike Brooks today, Mr. Inside Sales, for coming on the Sell or Die podcast.
Yeah.
We are growing this podcast like crazy. You're going to sell a bunch of books as a result of it.
We're going to put your website in the show notes, but for all the diehards listening, it's MrInsideSales.com. You can get his book.
And blogs. Sign up for my blog. I put out new scripts every Tuesday, and you can go to my blog and search it now for old scripts. So join that. You'll get new scripts every Tuesday for free. Cool. And email me, too. And I'll Mike at Mr. Inside Sales and say, hey, how do you handle this? And I'll write a blog about it just for you.
Have you started your podcast yet, Mike?
No, I had a podcast, the top secrets of the top 20%, but I haven't kept up with it. I'm so busy. You know how it is.
No, tell me.
It's busy.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you so kindly. It's been a pleasure, a total pleasure.
Well, first of all, Jennifer, thank you for having me on. It's nice to see your voice, see you and hear your voice, and thanks for the opportunity.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. And Jeffrey, you're the man, dude.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so kindly.
He is the man.
Hey.
He is.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Our people will call your people. Sales, meat, and potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
He was really on point, on the money. I mean, you could take that information out right now and turn it into money.
Well, that's the thing I love about Mike Brooks is he gives you real strategies you can use right now.
And if he sounds like a nice guy, he is a nice guy. People that sound, you know,
he
wasn't forceful or anything. You got to do this.
When you think of like the most effective cold callers, you don't always associate them with being nice. And here's a pure example of how you can be.
Well, in the old days, Jen, cold callers were nice. That's how they got in the door.
Got it.
But I think that, I always pay attention when Mike Brooks talks because he always makes sense. And it's well documented that cold calling is not on my hit parade. My three-word definition of it had always been waste of time. But in today's world, sometimes you have no choice. My recommendation is you go on LinkedIn to find somebody who's a target and you connect with them with a value message.
Well, I no longer think that cold calling is something that can be done on its own. You need what Tony Hughes was talking about when he was talking about his book, that 1-2 combo punch thing. You need multiple prongs. You need LinkedIn.
I understand
you need
that, but
other,
I'm telling you, Jeb
areas.
Blunt's book on fanatical prospecting is damn good. I mean, he makes a real good case for setting up a phone, what he calls a block of time, and just pound the phones for an hour and get a half a dozen leads. Now, it works. I can't attest for the fact that it would be my best way, because when I got into sales, that was my way. I fanatically prospected, and it worked, but it was such a pain in the ass that I graduated. And maybe people that are not as experienced as you know, don't have the 10 years of experience under their belt, need to do some kind of prospecting.
That's right. I think it works in certain industries better than others, and it works for certain levels of your career better than others. Yeah. But a lot of people I know have built their business on cold calling and have been very successful at it. And one of the keys, which is something that Mike Brooks talked about, is the level of preparedness.
Yeah.
He had said that he doesn't feel that most salespeople show up as prepared as they need to be. And like, let's talk about giving talks for a minute. How much do you prepare for a 90-minute talk?
Usually between 5 and 10 hours, depending on the talk.
Okay, so you've given what?
2,500 talks.
2,500 talks, wow. You're a world-class speaker, I know, because I've seen you speak.
You are correct, Jen, and I respect your opinion.
Thank you. And you don't just show up.
No,
you
I show
still
up prepared.
Prepare.
Yeah, and I'm preparing long into the night before I give my talk.
And I haven't been giving talks as long as you have, because then I would have been giving talks when I was like 5. But, okay, 10.
Minus 20.
No.
But go ahead.
But when I give a talk, a 90-minute talk, it'll take me about 20 hours to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well
I need to show up prepared. I need to show up knowing all the stuff I want to talk about and being really, you know, being the expert in that area.
If you go into a sales call and you're nervous, it's only because you're unprepared. If you're giving a speech to other people and you're nervous, it's only because you're unprepared. And if you will take your life and create more preparedness to it, not only will you feel more confident, you will make more money.
That's right. All right. Well, I think it's time to go. I hear some people outside. It's making me realize we need to get outside.
Yeah, exactly.
But coming up this week, let me just let you guys know, we have a really awesome sales manager spotlight tomorrow with Ryan Bramlett. And then on Thursday, we have another guest interview with Stacey Brand Brown Randall, who's going to talk about
Referrals,
and not just how to get referrals, but how to earn referrals.
Yep.
She is incredible. She is a female powerhouse. She is someone not to miss.
I'm totally against asking for referrals, unless any of you diehards out there want to ask your boss to have me come in to do a seminar for them.
I was going to our Facebook group, our Sell or Die official Facebook group.
Oh, it's a secret
called
group,
Sell or
way.
Die Hards Official.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to shout out to a few people who recently joined.
Okay, go.
Okay. Mac Hampson, Brenda Lynn Russell, Turi. I'll just say your first names. Mac, Brenda, Turi, Kyla, Kenny, Gail, Greg, Anka, Keith, Mitch, Trisha, Gary, Tony, Chris, Eric, Steve, Mark, Bradley, Amy, Doug, Wes, Sebastian, Mary, and Tanya, who all just recently joined, to say welcome to the group. We're glad you're here.
You're going to get a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to jump in there every once in a while and give a little video.
That's right. I just put a poll in there yesterday about when you guys would like us to go live, the best time. And so far, we've gotten the most votes for this for Friday between 6 and 11 a.m.
Really?
So, yeah. So, Jeffrey and I are going to be
6 a.m. in San Francisco, like the middle of the night.
I said all times are in Eastern time, so, you know. What? Anyway, so we're going to be going live directly in the group, and we want you guys to join us. Don't miss out. Join
the
group.
Be the first 1,000 people and watch what happens. Well, it's time to go, Jen.
Au revoir.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling. I want to thank everybody for being there today. This is a great show. Please tell everybody else. And please
subscribe, rate, and review our show. And a great big thanks to not only you diehards, but to Doug, Nada, Steve, and Alex.
Yep.
The men behind the scenes who are helping us go live 5 days a week beginning this month.
And who are you again?
I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something even if your ass falls off. Sell or Die Hards, attention. If you love the show, make sure you have subscribed to the show.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes and give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend, tell both your friends about the best sales podcast on the planet.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true seller diehard, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.